Now, if you have a Bible with you tonight and want to leave with you just one verse that you will find tucked away in the Old Testament, I'd like you to turn, if you have your Bible, to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're turning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11 and the verse 1. And a very familiar verse, a very beautiful, very wonderful text from the Word of God. And it's the words of Solomon, the king of Israel, when he said, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Many years ago, there was a famous preacher by the name of Dr. F. B. Meyer, great teacher, great preacher of the Word of God. In the story of his life, when he's coming to a close, Dr. F. B. Meyer made this statement. He said, as a minister, he had one great regret. And F. B. Meyer's great regret towards the end of his ministry, he said, was that he didn't give more time to the ministry of encouragement. And I believe that is something that is very important and vital in the work of God, the ministry of encouragement, that we learn to encourage one another in the work of God. Every one of us are like David, and you remember that he had a friend and who loved him even as his own soul. And we read so often how that Jonathan came and he strengthened David's hand in God, and he encouraged David in the hard and difficult times. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that if we resolve tonight that in this incoming year that we're going to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we learn to encourage one another in the battle for the Lord. Now this is what Solomon is doing here, and yet behind these words I believe we have one who was even greater than Solomon himself, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would say, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And the Lord would say to each one of us tonight, as the Lord of the harvest, to encourage us in his work, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And I want to look at this very simply tonight from three different things that you'll find embodied in the words of our text. And I want you to notice, first of all, that Solomon speaks of a great task to be done. There's a great task to be done set before us in these words. What does Solomon mean when he says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters"? Well, I believe King Solomon here is speaking or writing about something that happened in the land of Egypt every year. Solomon, you'll remember, was a wisest of all the kings of Israel, and he could learn from every situation that he would see in life. And Solomon here, I believe, of his mind and his eyes is set upon the land of Egypt. And if you're familiar with the geography of Egypt, you'll know that for a great part of that land, the great river Nile runs through the land of Egypt. And what happens every year when the rainy seasons come, the waters of the Nile overflow their banks. And we find that the waters along the fields there, along the Nile, are flooded with the waters. Then the Egyptian farmer, along with his son or maybe his servant, will take out their little sailing craft, load it up with seed corn, and then they'll go across those fields that are submerged in water, and they'll take their seed corn, and they'll cast the bread upon the waters, and they'll cast the seed upon the water. And then what happens is this, that the seed submerges down into the mother earth, into the soft earth. And then eventually the time comes when the waters assuage, when they disappear back into the bowels of mother earth. And that seed corn that has been sown, the Egyptian farmer will go out and he'll be able to gather in the harvest eventually as a result of his sowing. But it's important to learn that there's a great task to be done, that there can be no reaping if there is no sowing of the Word of God. And how important it is that we remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And of course, the seed that he was sowing was the precious Word of God. And this is the great task to be done in Coleraine-free Presbyterian Church. No matter what part of the work you're involved in, it's a matter of casting your bread upon the waters. God has called us to sow the good seed of the Word of God. And you know, perhaps you're saying to yourself tonight, "Well, I'm really a nobody. I don't have any great talents or ability." I want to tell you, God can take you up and use you to sow His Word. I think of a dear woman, and she went to her pastor, and she said, "Pastor," after she'd been challenged about soul winning, and she said, "Pastor, I really don't meet anybody, and I couldn't really speak to anybody about their soul." And the pastor said to her, "Well," he says, "dear, if you ask the Lord to help you, the Lord will strengthen you." And he said, "Tell me, who comes to your door during the course of an average week?" And of course, in those days, there was more callers came to the door. There wasn't the big supermarkets that we have now, and people didn't have their cars. And she began to relate who all came to the door. And she said, "Well, there's a bread man comes, and there's a man from the potential." And she went through a list of different callers who came to the door. And she ended up by saying, "And of course, the milkman comes every morning." The pastor said, "Well, there's your mission field where you can start for God." And the next morning she made up her mind, "I'm going to speak to the milkman about being saved and accepting Christ as a Savior." And she got up early in the morning, for the milkman came early, and she waited. There he was coming down the passageway with a couple of pints of milk under his arm, and just about to put it down, and the door opened. And she shouted at him, "You need to be saved!" Well, you talk about getting him saved, she nearly scared the devil clean out of him. And he nearly dropped the milk on the foot on the pathway. And he composed himself and he looked at the wee woman. And he says, "It's funny you should say that. I've been thinking about this business about getting saved, and I don't know how to get saved. Could you tell me?" And she had the joy of getting her Bible, opening up God's Word, and tasting the joy unspeakable, full of glory, that comes from pointing a precious soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, a great task to be done. There's no greater task in this world than to be an ambassador for Christ, to be a witness for Him, and to be able to cast our bread upon the waters. You know, I remember being out in the car one day and had the radio on and was listening, and all of a sudden there was a news flash came over and the program was interrupted, and it said this: "The king is dead." I wondered who's dead, the king. And it turned out the king was Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. And went on to talk about Elvis and so on. Then the next day I was listening to the radio again, and it said this: "The broadcaster said that within 24 hours, the whole world was talking about the death of Elvis Presley." I thought that was powerful. Because when you think of it, we have had the gospel for almost 2,000 years, and yet there's untold millions, aye, and many of them round about Coleraine, and they've never heard about the death of the King of Glory, the one who died for them at the place called Calvary. And I would say to you tonight, why should anyone hear the gospel twice? when there's those who have never heard it once. I'm glad this church has a vision, has an outreach, has a desire to go out and to cast their bread upon the waters. Oh, there's a great task to be done. All of us are called to this great work. But notice quickly, there's a great triumph to be discovered. A great triumph to be discovered. Listen to what it says, because along with the command, there's a promise. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Listen, for thou shalt find it after many days. And here's a great triumph to be discovered. God says, if you're faithful, if you're obedient, then I will make you fruitful. I will bless your efforts. Cast your bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Now you'll notice here the patience that we need to exercise. You see, this verse doesn't say, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it tomorrow, or thou shalt find it today. It doesn't say that. But rather, there's a patience that we need to exercise. And you see this with the Egyptian farmer. There's the sowing, then there's the waiting, and then eventually there's the time of reaping. And in between the sowing and the reaping, you need the period of waiting where the word has got to do its work, but you've got to learn to be patient. And that's hard to be sometimes. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was a very impatient man, and I greatly admire him as a figure in church history. And he brought a young officer in, and he wanted to know why something wasn't done yesterday. That was the kind of person he was. And the young officer, with her tongue in her cheek, they said to him, well, you know, General, Rome wasn't built in a day. And the old general said, as quick as a flash, that's because I wasn't in charge. And of course, if Paisley had been in charge, it would never have been built. But sometimes we're like that, and we need patience in God's work. It's difficult, and you're working with children and young people, and sometimes you wonder, Lord, is it worthwhile? Lord, it doesn't seem to be making an impact. But I want to tell you, God's word will not return unto him void. I remember being brought up in the city of Belfast. We were a big family. There was 8 boys and 1 girl. We're all sent along to the Emmanuel Mission Sunday School facing us. And there was a wee man called Mr. Phillips, great wee man of God. Mr. Phillips was great with a flannel graph, and that's the time before none of us had any television in our street. That was the nearest thing we had outside going to the pictures, and was a flannel graph. And I remember as a wee boy going along, and I loved to hear Mr. Phillips and to see him with a flannel graph and the Bible story. Now, he had a whistle in his voice. And when he would speak, he would say, now, boys, girls, sit up in your seats. And it was fascinating. And we would go and misbehave and push and pull. And you know what we're like. And I remember as a wee boy being out in the street one day, and I found a washer. Now, I'm not talking about a dishwasher. Found a washer, like a penny with a hole in the middle of it. And I left it and put it in my pocket. Used to do that with everything, an old nail or anything, left it and put it in your pocket, bit of cord. My mother used to have some fun cleaning the pockets out. I remember going along to the children's meeting, and Mr. Phillips said, now, boys and girls, we're going to lift the offerings, pass the baskets round. And I was sitting there, and I remembered the washer. Last of the big spenders. And when the basket came up, I just dropped it in, and it was passed on round. I forgot all about it, went out of my head. Next Wednesday night, we were there, Mr. Phillips was there, and they came to the offering, and they held up the washer. And he says, now, boys and girls, this is God's offering. And look what somebody put into the basket last week. Well, I thought I was Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I, lightning's going to come. I thought Sinai's about to descend on me. And I thought I was going to be wiped out. And I sat there and I prayed, oh, Lord, this is awful. And you know, he never found out who did it. But I want to tell you this. Cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And I remember when I was sitting in public houses, 16 years of age, parents knew nothing about it. Those stories from the Word of God and the verses that I learned about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to my heart, even sitting in a public house and at the side of a dance floor. And one night God's Spirit spoke to me. So on the way to the cinema, and God redirected my steps to the Emmanuel Mission, and I was about 17 and a half years of age. And I went in and I sat down in the back seat of the gospel campaign. And I hadn't been there for years in Sunday school days. And that night when the appeal was made, I stepped out of the aisle to receive Christ as my Saviour. And you know who pointed me to Jesus? You know who led me to Christ? Wee Mr. Phillips. The man that I broke his heart many a time misbehaving. He knelt down and he showed me John 3:16. That if Stanley Barnes believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, I was asked to preach at his funeral, and it was the greatest privilege I ever had in my life as far as funerals are concerned. But you know, it was a matter of casting your bread upon the waters, and you need patience. And God says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Listen, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. There's not only the patience that we need to exercise, there's the promise we need to embrace. For thou shalt find it after many days. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. He that goeth forth very precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Listen, the promises of God are real. Stand on the promises of God. And when the devil tells you it's not worthwhile, tell him he's a liar. That God says it is worthwhile. And that the Lord Jesus is going to answer prayer and give you fruit. But notice quickly, not only a great task to be done and a great triumph to be discovered. Oh, but there's a great truth to be declared, a great truth to be declared. You know, as I think of these words, they remind me of John 3:16. You see, as you read the scriptures, you'll find in the prophetic scriptures, in Daniel and Revelation, for example, that waters symbolize the nations of the earth. You remember the scarlet woman, the Babylonish woman in Revelation 17. She sat upon the waters, and the waters spoke of the nations of the earth. And so keep that fixed in your mind, that waters in the Bible are associated with the nations of the earth. And away back almost 2,000 years ago, God in love and mercy and sovereign grace cast his bread upon the waters, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the wonderful message of the gospel, that God has cast his bread upon the waters in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the Christian Workers Union Hall in Belfast, for some great meetings, and they used to have a meeting for the drunks on a Saturday night. The pubs closed at that time about 9 o'clock, and they'd have a meeting for the drunks and invite them in, give them a cup of tea and a sandwich and set them down and try and share the gospel with them. To invite wee fellows like me and others to come along and preach and to try and witness for the Lord. And one night there was this young fellow was asked to speak, and he had never preached before. And he got up and he opened up God's word and he read the scriptures, and he just was getting into giving a wee word. And all of a sudden an old drunk stood to his feet. And this drunk knew a thing or two. And he says, "Hey boy, answer this question. I have a question for you, young fella." And you know, the young fella didn't know what to do. He went the colour of a sheet. And the old drunk says, tell me this, what language was the Bible written in? He says, I fella knew a thing or two. And the young fella, he just stood there and his jaw dropped. Knew that awful feeling, what are you going to say next? And suddenly another old brother stood to his feet. And he shouted over to the drunk from the other side of the hall, hey boy, listen, look over here. I'll tell you the language of the Bible. The language of the Bible is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you believe in him, you'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. You can be saved if you trust in Christ. And you know, friend, that's the message that we preach. That's why we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the good news. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And every time a soul is saved, the Lord Jesus is saying the travail of a soul, and he's satisfied. He's saying the fruits of Calvary. And you know, that's what it's all about. It's about the cross and bringing sinners to the Savior. That's what evangelism is. It's taking the hand of the sinner and the hand of the Savior and bringing them both together. That's what God has called us to do. And let's determine this year. Thank God for souls saved. Thank God for tokens for good. But we've had the cloud the size of a man's hand, we want to hear the sound of abundance of rain. We want to see the clouds burst with heaven's blessing. And this city, this town of Coleraine, that has known revival in days gone by, will one day again, sooner than later, know a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I believe God can do it if we only put him to the test. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Brother, sister, be encouraged in the Lord tonight. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain.